aforementioned Brett Norsworthy from out of Memphis joins us here on the Bud Light Hotline. Brett, big news. You being there in Memphis, we've got that rivalry with UAB and Memphis, not only in football, but also basketball, that is going to be reuniting here in a couple of years.
I think it's great. So glad to be with y'all. So glad to have UAB and Memphis back as conference brethren. Just love everything about the late, great Gene Bartow, and love Murray Bartow, and love Andy Kennedy, and love what UAB has done in football, and our friend David Crane, and y'all, all y'all from the UAB Broadcast Network. It'll be fun, and I hope that Memphis and Birmingham will be kind of the capital buildings of this new AAC. I know Mike Oresco has enjoyed a relationship with Fort Worth and Dickey's Arena there in Fort Worth, but our American Athletic Conference tournament should every year be at FedEx Forum or at BJCC.
No question about it. Let's go back to last Saturday night, because the atmosphere that you witnessed on site there at Neyland Stadium, it's something that Tennessee fans probably not been a part of in quite some time. So kind of take us through the day, take us through the buildup, and then actually what took place in the last 50 seconds of that football game.
Had everything about last weekend, except for, you know, how it kind of ended, was great. Danny White said it best. For 59 scoreboard minutes, that was as good a college football atmosphere, Pat, I'm going to say, as I've about ever been in. I mean, Iron Bowls, Egg Bowls, all the great, going to Tiger Stadium, that was something. And you could feel it. You could feel the vibe on Friday night, downtown and around town. I mean, they were ready. They were primed. The Tennessee, they're on the way back. They've got adult leadership in Danny Knight and Josh Heupel, and they are on the way back. And then how it ended is well documented, and it was shown to everybody. I have not crushed Tennessee over that, because it is never everybody. We know that. We know that. And I'm so irritated in our society now that everybody gets lumped in with the lowest common denominator of whatever they're about. And at Ole Miss, I'm really sensitive to it. I was 3 months old when the events of 1962 and James Meredith, a really fine human being that I'm good friends with now, was being admitted into school. I had nothing to do with that. Almost nobody alive today had anything to do with that. Why does everybody in the Ole Miss orbit get smeared with that? And the Tennessee fans do not deserve that. I had a good friend of mine, if I told you the business, you would know. Captain of Industry texted me on Monday with a very nice text, sincerely saying, "Man, I'm so sorry that happened." And I replied back to him. I said, "Did you throw anything?" He said, "Well, of course I didn't." I said, "Well, then you have nothing to apologize for then. You didn't do it. We're not all guilty because the lowest common denominator does something untoward."
Brett Norsworthy joining us from Memphis, part of the Ole Miss Network. Going to get into Ole Miss and LSU momentarily. But Matt Corral, this Ole Miss offense, Brett, when you look at it last week, Matt Corral, I'm not going to call it pedestrian, but it wasn't the typical performance we've become accustomed to seeing. 21-38, 231 yards, two touchdowns, and the pick. When you look at this offense, the way it was clicking, we know what the defense is and is probably going to be for the rest of the season. Where do you see this Ole Miss team as it pertains to the rest of the schedule, and especially leading into this game this weekend?
Well, Landrum, if we don't get some receivers, well, it's going to be a lot of Matt, and it's going to be a lot of the running game. We're going to almost have to rely solely on that in leading the SEC in rushing after leading the SEC in rushing last year. But Matt took a lot of hits. He was a gamer. I mean, it's just a bucket of guts game. He was tough as he could be. And by the end of the game, it was no disguising. We knew everybody in the stadium knew who was going to keep the football, and Matt Corral did and performed at such a high level. Had a decent passing game, but I would agree, pedestrian by his lofty numbers, certainly leading into that. Ended up around 426 for total offense, almost 200 of that on the ground. He would have gone over 200 except for that very awkward last 54 seconds that Ole Miss was trying to run the clock out, but Tennessee still preserving three timeouts. Now, one thing that did irritate me at the time, and I have said it all week, is why wasn't there a penalty called on the play? At minimum, that was unsportsmanlike conduct. At minimum, that was some sort of delay of game, like a 30-minute delay of game, and that would have moved the football out more toward midfield, with a little more operating room for Matt and Ole Miss offense to try to run out those last few seconds. And then the Tennessee punt returner just busted a big one, made a big-time play, and it felt like they were moving down to win. And if Hendon Hooker hadn't gotten knocked out of the game, if he had been in there, it felt like he was going to come up the hero, but they didn't. Tennessee just a little bit short. They're building. They got a incredibly tough game Saturday facing Mighty Tide again, and they're very beat up. It was a physical game, and we've had two wild finishes the last 2 weeks. I started our post game with, I think this football team is trying to kill its announcers and fans.
Well, I think some Ole Miss fans might be kind of used to that, right? I mean, throughout the history of the program and some of the close-knit games that they've had throughout the SEC. We turned to Brett Noseworthy.
We have.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, Brett, this game this week, LSU announces Coach O is out. It's interesting that he's leaving a school in his first game after resigning or being fired or whatever you want to say, his golden parachute that LSU is going to give him, is at Ole Miss, a place where he was fired at his first head coaching job. Talk to us about this LSU game, and you talked about some of the healthy bodies that Ole Miss is going to have. If Corral's not available, who's the starting quarterback?
Well, I think Matt will end up being a game-time decision and will be out there, but if he's not, you're going to have to see a lot of the freshmen, Luke Altmaier from Starkville, and you'll see some package with John Rice Plumlee, I think, out there as well. 2 years ago, John Rice rushed for 212 yards in this game, and that was the record Matt was going for late last Saturday night at Knoxville, and that was 2 years ago against Joe Burrow at the headiest, highest apex of LSU football since Billy Cannon. And during the Ed Orgeron era, Burrow on his way to his Heisman 2 years ago, and they just stroked Ole Miss. And Ed Orgeron's made it look easy in his years as head coach at LSU over Ole Miss. Last year was the most competitive game, and lost that to Max Johnson and LSU late at Tiger Stadium about a week out before Christmas. That was a different dynamic. But Orgeron undefeated against Ole Miss, and you know that it's going to mean a lot to him. He and Lane Kiffin are really close. But it will be a Super Bowl of sorts for Ed Orgeron and for LSU to try to derail this Ole Miss season.
Brett, where does it come when you look at the rivalry? We know the Mississippi State and the Egg Bowl, of course, that's the big rival there in the state of Mississippi. But where does LSU rank, according to Ole Miss fans?
Well, I think it's really generational. Kind of the older fan, kind of the 45, 50 and up fan, it's all about LSU. To the younger fan, it's all about the Egg Bowl. And to the older fan, they remember when it was very competitive, and even the theatrics, the histrionics of the Billy Cannon punt return. But to the younger fan, I think it's probably Mississippi State. But Saturday in Oxford, it will be LSU for Eli Manning weekend, and how the university and everybody's going to celebrate the great Eli Manning. In fact, tonight in Oxford, the M Club, the Letterman's Club, is having their Hall of Fame banquet, and usually it's a class of about 4 to 6 people from various sports, spring and Olympic sports, male and female. Tonight, only one honoree, and that's going to be number 10, Eli Manning, by the Letterman's Club.
Quickly, Brett, because we've got less than 60 seconds, but just your quick thoughts on the name Lane Kiffin been mentioned in Baton Rouge for that opening.
Coach Kiffin's name is going to come up in all these jobs, Pat, and that's a sign of the great job he's done. Now, after 16 games, 10-6 at Ole Miss, I didn't know at what point he would get to his 10th win at Ole Miss. I didn't know what his record would be after 16 games, but I think he has exceeded it, and that's why his name's going to pop up. And I think it's just a testament to the great job he's done for us and how appreciative we are of it.
Well, I don't know if you got to worry, though, because Mel Tucker is the odds-on favorite now for that job. So, remains to be seen.
I think so.
Yep. Brett, we always appreciate it. Thanks for pulling for my Braves. Hopefully, they get it done one more time against the Dodgers.
I'm for you all the way through. Thank you guys for having me.
Brett Noseworthy. Thank you, friend. Joining us on the Bud Light Hotline.